Sylvia Bullard on 88.9 The Cube, speaking with Sébastien La Rochelle-Côté from Statistics Canada. He's joining us from Ottawa. He's on the line. How are you today?
Very good, thanks.
Well, so we have Canada's first national household survey that has been released, and the results have been all over the news during the past couple of days. What would you say is the reception of the population in general? Are they happy with the quality of the data?
Well, I don't know if the population is happy, but we are.
Mm-hmm.
This is the largest survey that has ever been conducted by Statistics Canada. It has a response rate of 68%. It was sent to many dwellings, one in three, in fact.
So this was like 2 years ago, wasn't it?
That was in 2011, in May of 2011. The real advantage of the NHS is that it provides information at a very detailed level. The quality of the data is there. We're very proud of what we've done in terms of a voluntary survey, given the fact that it's a voluntary survey.
So the National Household Survey replaced the 2006 census, and there were some differences, weren't there?
I wouldn't say replaced. The 2006 situation was we had a short form, which was sent to 100% of the population. 100% of the Canadian population had to fill the short form, and that was still the case in 2011. We still had a short form census, which was collected by this organization and on which you could get information on age, on bilingualism, on a family situation, and a few things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there still is a short form census. The long form 2006 was there, which was called a long form census, which was sent to a sample of 20% of Canadian households. And this time it's a different thing. It's a survey, meaning that it's voluntary and was sent to one in three dwelling and had a response rate of 68%. So those are two different sources of information, covered two different populations, and which is why, but still is very valuable, very instructive in terms of the degree of detail where you can go to gather information about, say, for example, different groups of different population groups by language, by ethnicity, you name it.
So, for example, in our area, the Sherbrooke area, if we want to find out information about the English, the French,
That's right.
The population, we simply have to go to the website?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All this information is free of charge.
Okay.
And you would be very surprised by the detail, the degree of detail to where this goes in terms of as far as the NHS is concerned, and as far as the census, because we also have information from the short form census 2011, and some of which have already been released, and there's going to be another release this time on income later in the summer as well, based on the NHS. Yes.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
There's three releases with respect to the NHS. There was a one on social issues, where you had information on immigration, for example, Aboriginals. And then you have today, which is the education labor force, and then the next one is going to be about income.
Okay. So you yourself wouldn't have any particular information regarding our area here? Any?
Yes. I was able to dig in some of to drill down some of the numbers for you.
Oh, great.
Notably for the language.
And
the advantage of the language information is that it comes out of the short form.
Mm-hmm.
Which is 100% of the population, so which is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was able to find is that in Sherbrooke, for example, you had, in terms of the first official language spoken, okay, that is a combination of mother tongue, of language spoken at home, and so on. 200,000 were part of the CMA. The CMA is a census metropolitan area.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only the city of Sherbrooke, okay? It gathers Sherbrooke and the surrounding municipalities that have a degree of integration, economic and social integration with the central, the city core.
So okay? if I understand you correctly, let's say, for example, if we look up Sherbrooke, we will see figures there, but that could include like perhaps Magog?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. If you're talking about the census metropolitan area,
mm-hmm.
and that is determined notably by looking at the flow of transportation and the proportion of people working in the core.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you have a critical mass of people in Magog, for example, that work in Sherbrooke. That area will be part of the census metropolitan area of Sherbrooke.
Okay.
Okay, and this is a good, the advantage of this is that you've got plenty of these areas in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make comparison based on a range of different things. And there's 33 of them. Sherbrooke is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're part of a select club of global agglomerations, I guess. And there's a few of them in Quebec. There's
mm-hmm.
Sherbrooke, there's Trois-Rivières.
Right.
There's Saguenay, Quebec City, Montreal, and Ottawa-Gatineau.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those are the ones, and you're part of that group, and we're able to provide stats.
Okay.
Fairly reliable stats on the CMA. And if I look at the CMA, there's 200,000 people living in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, of these, 185,000 people were using French as a first official language,
mm-hmm.
10,000 English, and 2,000 were using both.
Okay.
So, and then the remaining, of course, you've got, a number of people, that are not using any of those.
That would be the allophone population, yes.
But if you combine, right, the anglophones with the people that say that they use English and French on an equal basis, then it's 6.6% of the population is CMA.
Okay.
Okay, 6.6%.
Mm-hmm.
So, That's what the situation is.
Right.
This is first official language spoken, but this doesn't provide any information on the language of work.
Mm-hmm.
Language of work is a different thing, and this is one of the variables that we release as part of the NHS
today. Okay.
I can provide you the numbers for Quebec, the numbers for Sherbrooke, and the numbers for Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I can begin maybe with the province of Quebec. 82% of people living in Quebec were using French primarily.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, at work. And English was used primarily by 12% of the population. And there's another 5% of people who said that they were using English and French equally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In Sherbrooke, the numbers were French used by 93%, okay, said that they were using primarily French, and 4.4% using English, and 2.5% using English and French equally.
Hmm.
Okay, so slightly, in terms of French, use of French, slightly above the provincial average.
Right, yes.
Okay? But of course, you've got numbers here that are probably a lot driven by what's happening in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's where most of the most significant part of the Anglophone community in Quebec lives.
Right.
And resides.
Right.
And so this is not necessarily a supply. There's two parts that we've done. I mean, we've got education, we've got labor, we've got, and we've got place of work mode of transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And if I start with labor, what we found was that in 2011, Sherbrooke was very close to the provincial average in terms of employment rate. So the employment rate is the proportion of people age 15 plus that were working at the time of the survey.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the rate in Sherbrooke was 59, and in for Quebec was 60, and Canada as a whole had an employment rate of 61. So all of these three, right, I mean, Sherbrooke and Quebec and Canada, all three of them were relatively close
mm-hmm.
in terms of the employment rate. It was the same in all age groups. I mean, the participation rates, employment rates in Sherbrooke were very close to the provincial average in all of the age groups. So for young people, older people, middle-aged, it was about the same.
It's about the same,
yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The thing that we found was interesting for Sherbrooke is that the relatively high share of people employed in healthcare, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So 16% of the Sherbrooke workforce was employed in the in healthcare and social assistance industries. So this is fairly wide-ranging, right? I mean, you have hospitals, you have doctor's offices, you've got any form of social assistance, it could be psychologists, it could be a range of different things, but,
mm-hmm.
but it employs 16% of the population, and it compares to 11% at the national level and about 12.5% at the provincial level. Okay, so Sherbrooke has a higher proportion of people working in the healthcare
mm-hmm.
sector than the rest of the province. It also has a higher share of people working in the manufacturing.
Oh, right? Yes?
Oh, yeah. And that was also the case when you look at the numbers from 2006.
Mm-hmm.
It had a higher than average percentage of people working in manufacturing industries in 2006.
So what would be the rate for that? The
rate for Sherbrooke was 13, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's it, 13% of the workforce. And that compared to 12%, so slightly above the provincial average.
Mm-hmm.
But on if you look at numbers at the national level, it was at the national level was about 11% of people working in the manufacturing industry. So, you know, slightly above the provincial average and slightly above the national average. And that was also the case in 2006. So there is a manufacturing base in Sherbrooke.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. I mean, all, you know, if you compare with 2006, I mean, the situation appears to have changed in many, many, many communities across the country with respect to manufacturing. Sherbrooke doesn't appear to be, it still has a higher than average percentage of people employed. And we've got information about education.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that too.
If I look at the proportion of, and that's the advantage, again, it's another advantage of the NHS. I mean, we can drill down to the highest level of educational attainment with a fairly high degree of detail. Let me maybe just start with the proportion of adults. Here I'm talking about adults aged 25 to 64.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we do that is because we want to focus on people who finish their studies, you know, from the age of 25.
Right.
And 68% of the adult population in Sherbrooke had some form of post-secondary degree, okay? And that's higher than the provincial average, which is 66,
mm-hmm.
and higher than the Canadian average, which is 64. The difference with Quebec, the province has a higher than average, and most cities of Quebec have a higher than average post-secondary attainment rate because the high school professional degrees are included in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the trades degrees that you get at high school are included in these calculations for Quebec.
Right.
But there is no equivalent in the rest of the country. If
uh-huh.
you want to have a trades degree,
mm-hmm.
then you got to go to college,
right?
Which is a bit different. But since this is a specialized form of certification, then we decided to include them into the post-secondary numbers for Quebec.
And I think it was out on the news today as well that it's women that are higher than men for education like this?
For trades.
For
that's
trades,
right.
Okay.
So 8 out of 10.
Okay.
In the trades are you know, held by men. And the other interesting thing is that there's no difference between the youngest and the oldest.
Oh.
If you look at the 25-34, yeah. So if you look at the 25-34 and the 55-64, for example, there's no difference between the two in terms of the proportion men and women.
Right.
Which is the only one of the rare instances where women didn't increase their share of the number of people with a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Compare that to medical degrees, for example, at the national level, where you have 62% of people aged 25 to 34 in the country
mm-hmm.
Where with a medical degree,
right.
where are women.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the same proportion among those age 55 to 64, it was only 28.
Okay.
Right. So there's been a shift.
Yeah.
In the distribution, men women distribution in medical degrees, even in the PhD level.
Is that right?
You start seeing a bit of a shift. Like I look at the PhD numbers here, and it's now is 47 women, 53 men.
Oh.
Used to be 32-60. Well, it was 32-68 for 55-64 for the older generation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now it's 47-53, mm-hmm. which is quite interesting.
I don't know if you have this information close at hand, but would you say that our area is attracting younger people, younger workers? Do you have some statistics on that?
That's a good question. I mean, we have all those stats.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do have numbers that will tell you the number of people in Sherbrooke that are age, number of workers in Sherbrooke that are age 15 to 24, number of people that are age 25 to 34, and so on.
Right.
We do know that the employment rate was no different for the younger age groups than the provincial average. That's not a situation in other parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in other parts of the country, namely Ontario, okay, you have employment rates among the 15 to 24 that were along the lines of 45%, okay, compared to, if I get a number for Sherbrooke, it's about 54, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the employment rate in Sherbrooke was no different from the provincial average, 53, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the Ontario, for example, 45, you've got areas in this country that have a serious, serious issues in terms of youth and unemployment, but it's not everywhere.
No.
Okay. So when we're talking about the issue of youth unemployment, and that really depends of who you are, right? Men, women, the age group you belong to, and where you live.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Sebastian La Rochelle-Cote, for giving us a clear picture of our area as to language, labor, and education. We really appreciate the time that you took to speak with us today.
My pleasure.
And again, if we want to find out more information about this, we can go to the website.
www.statscan.gc.ca.
And we just need to type in our area and...
You can look at the community profile.
Mm-hmm.
There's an area of our website that provides information on each CMA, CA, and so on. And there's a module on the website that refers to the NHS, the National Household Survey. And then there's another module that looks at the census.
Okay.
2011, which is the short form I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got also the numbers from the census 2006. So there's a module for each three.
All right, good. Well, thank you once again.
No problem.